had the perfect reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the perfect song to prepare our mind for what we're about to do, and then the good prayer that we've just prayed. Appreciate the prayer on my behalf as well. We're going to be talking about this morning, as you've seen in the announcements of the meeting lessons, how you worship. So with that in mind, we will turn to this passage in Psalm 95. The psalmist said, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." So it is this morning that we want to look at you and me, how you worship. We used to say when we were little kids, "Let's ten like." You ever say that? "Let's just ten like. Let's just ten like you, the only one here." Okay? Nobody else. Not looking at anybody else or thinking about anybody else, but we'll say again in this lesson, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Sometimes we say, "May I have your attention?" My dad would say, "Attend, hut!" And when he said that, I'd better be paying attention. Do you suppose a soldier, when he heard the sergeant say that he was, "Hey, Bill, what'd you do last night?" You think that soldier, when he was supposed to be at attention, would be talking or looking, "Hey, Jonesy, how you doing back there?" What's about to happen to him? Somebody's going to be in his face, aren't they, to remind him, "He's at attention." Well, the story is now that, I'm too poor to pay attention. That may be true in some areas, but it better not be true here, had it. They say our time of attention is limited to 20 minutes, and I've read as much as even down to 10 minutes now. And so why is that? He said, "But that's between the commercials on TV. The news can hold your attention for, I think, about 5 minutes now, and then they have 5 minutes of commercials. So we can go change the oil in our car before they come back with the news." So sometimes we just can't stay focused. Remember when Michael Jordan was shooting a free throw, the camera would zoom in. Look at his eyes, how focused he is. He wasn't saying, "Hi, guys, how you doing?" Well, he ruined my example because one day he closed his eyes and shot it and made it. So that ruined that example. But focused we need to be, don't we? To know why we are here and that it really means something to us. Because we're not just here to see somebody, but we're here to worship God and all that he is, and all that he is to us. And so we look at some of our charts today. The meaning of worship, we'll just read this first one. The feeling of expression or reverence and adoration for a deity. Now you could talk a long time about this definition. It was made up by man. The word reverence, adoration. Somebody, someone that you absolutely adore. You don't just tell everybody, "I adore you," do you? It's usually one special person. Or that you reverence God. And when we are here, we'd better be doing that. We need to hurry along here. We've used words that I can understand. God is almighty. Anybody have trouble understanding that? The almighty God. And he is, isn't he? Then he is the God that is everywhere. I can't do that. I can't be everywhere all the time. But he is also all-knowing. There is nothing in this world that he does not know. Even the numbers of hair in our head, and for some of us that's getting easier and easier, isn't it? Then he is all-wise. We thought Solomon was wise. But who gave Solomon the wisdom that he had? It was that Almighty God. We could spend all day on that. We sing the song that says, "Oh, worship the King," and Paul in Philippians 2 tells us why. And it begins with wherefore. And when you see the word wherefore, therefore, you better read the context previous to it. Because he could leave heaven and not be sorrowful. Oh, I hate to leave. No, he did it for us, didn't he? He humbled himself, became a servant, died on the cross for us. Wherefore? Because of his submission to God, God also hath highly exalted him. You humble yourself before God and he will exalt you, and here's proof of it. And has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is this deity something to worship? Something that I should stay focused on? Again, Matthew 17 and verse 5, the Mount of Transfiguration. When God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Whole lesson in that phrase as well. Let's go back. And when they heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. We need to be so focused to know why we are here that nothing but nothing can distract us or detract us from our purpose here. Nothing beside us, in front of us, behind us, around us, anywhere can detract. I am so focused. I had a speed reading teacher tell me, he said, "I'll be able to leave this classroom and you won't know it. You'll be so focused." And I remember thinking, as an 18-year-old, saying, "No teacher has ever left the classroom that I'm in, and I didn't know it." Well, Mr. Grantham gave us 35 pages to read in 5 minutes, and he said, "You're going to be tested over it." At the end of that 5 minutes, I looked up, and Mr. Grantham wasn't there. I didn't know when he left. Why? Because I was so focused. He said, in that same class, he said, a helicopter could land outside of this classroom on the first floor we were. He said, "You won't know it because you're going to be so focused." I've never been that focused before. That's the way we ought to be here. I know on my way here in the morning, Sunday morning, when I wake up, why I am coming, what I am going to do. The president of Florida College, Buddy Payne, he and I were students together. That's my claim to fame. I remember walking up to him. He was sitting about in the second row. And I was going to say something before worship. And he was reading his Bible, and he didn't pay attention to me. And I finally got the clue what he was doing. Preparing his mind. Even as an 18-year-old. Can we learn something from that? I think that we can. Some questions for you. Has worship become accustomed to you? I mean, we know every Sunday morning where we're going to be, what time we're going to be here, what we're going to do here. Is it just a custom? We find our pew, sit by our friends. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it just becomes customary habit that we just run through. Is my heart set for what we are doing or about to do? We say in our prayers, "Be with us through the further exercise of this hour." And I remember as a child thinking, exercise. I'm thinking, what do we do? Our exercise is from here up, isn't it? With our heart, we worship God. Can we discipline ourselves, be so focused that that's what we can do? With every song, with every prayer, with every sermon. And by the way, are we here all day? The longest sermon you ever heard, what happened to it? It ended, didn't it? It may be this week that you hear your longest sermon item. But we need to set our hearts, don't we? Do I pay attention? Not worried about somebody else, but do I pay attention to the songs, to the sermons, to the prayers? Oh, Brother Long-Winded's going to get up and preach. Or Brother Long Prayer is going to lead his long prayer. Oh, and some people think, well, this is the time I can close my eyes and go to sleep. Well, no, they're the prayer leader. I'm to listen to that prayer, aren't I? And to be able to say amen to that prayer, do I? Or is it just a custom that we go through the service? Are you a distraction to others? Can you be? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Some more questions. How do I dress when I come? I just want to give a warning. The next generation will take it further. As we get down to the casual look, the leisure, everything's leisure, that I think we forget where we are. I don't wear a suit because I'm a preacher. I wear a suit because of where I am going. Out of respect for this God that created me, that has given me so much all of these years, I need to praise God in everything I do. What would you wear before a king if a king were coming? And you get to sit in the audience like this. If you were God, would you accept your worship? You know, I think, well, God can't know what I'm thinking because he's busy over here with Jocelyn. He can't know what I'm doing. After all, I'm looking at the preacher. God's not like that, is he? He knows what we're all thinking. You think about that? Too poor to pay attention again? Am I playing church? How many of us played church when we were little kids? We had steps on our back porch and we had steps going down our basement at home. And my brother and I, we played church. He did all the preaching. I did a lot of sitting. We had our high C grape drink and we had our crackers. We did it all. Do we outgrow playing church? Something to be serious about, isn't it? We're so blessed in this country to be able to do this. Old Testament examples. Did God not know what these people were doing while they worshiped him? He said, you shall offer at your own will. He's not going to force people. At your own will, a male without blemish. Of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats, but whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer. For it shall not be acceptable for you. You think I could sneak a blind or lame animal into the sacrifice? He's going to die anyway. And God didn't know? You think God didn't know? Listen to Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty. Again, Malachi 1, 13. You also say, oh, what a weariness it is. And you sneer at it. You snuff. Well, we got to go to church. God doesn't hear that. Think again. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And it was, I think, more among the other nations than even God's own people. Are we saying shame on them? When Paul says you better be careful doing that. Romans 2 and verse 2, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you judge, for who judge practice, for you who judge practice the same things. I'm saying shame on you when I'm doing the very same thing. I need to be careful, don't I? This picture reminds me of the Fonz. Some of us are old enough to remember him. Standing before a mirror. Hey. Well, how do I look before God? When it comes to giving, how am I doing? Well, somebody said, oh, preacher, don't talk about giving. That's a touchy spot. And then somebody said, well, there's no touchy spots, just touchy Christians. And I may be guilty as charged. Paul said, let each one of you, 1 Corinthians 16, lay by in store as God has prospered him. Am I? Am I hedging on that? What if God prospered me the way I give? Think about that. You think he doesn't know how much I give? I may fold up my money in real small, whatever it is. To know, am I giving as I have prospered? To give cheerfully, and this is the word we get our word, hilarious. So glad I can give that, and I wish I could give more. Is that the way we feel? Or, man, I got so many bills stacked up here, I could sure use this. Or we won't be able to go out and eat this afternoon or tonight. If I give. Just saying. And in prayer. How am I doing? Did you listen to the prayer that was prayed? Did you? Did you pay attention? We are so blessed to be able to have the microphones, speakers that we can hear every prayer. So we, as we said, we can say amen, 1 Corinthians 14, 16. Do not pray to be seen of men. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Or to be heard of men. If I pray that way, how high does my prayer get? Just bounces off the ceiling, doesn't it? Is that why I pray? Or am I praying to the Almighty, All-Wise, All-Knowing, All-Everything God? Did you know the one who turns your heart on has the power to turn it off? The one who gives you this air to breathe and lungs to accept that air and a body that accepts the energy that comes from that. The good food, if you chose to eat this morning. The clothing that we wear. The cars that we drive. Everything that we have. Are we thankful? I mentioned one time in a sermon we ought to count our blessings. And Sunday night, one lady came back and she said, I can't do it. I said, what? She said, I tried to count all my blessings and I was writing them down and I couldn't name them all. Isn't that a fact? Anybody wishing they were in Houston about now? Are we blessed? Shake your head this way. Yes, we are blessed. You're able to breathe on your own. You were able to feed yourself this morning. You were able to dress yourself with the help of my wife. How am I doing? When it comes to the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, in remembrance of Mo. So what it says? No. Far from it. In remembrance of me. Who's the me? How are we doing? Need to have our mind, our heart, our exercising heart in serving God, in remembering the Lord's death. And people tell us, well, you take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day and just becomes a custom. And we say, oh, no, it doesn't. Really? When we pass the bread and the fruit of the vine, are you focused? Have you ever found your mind wandering? Me too. I need to grab myself by the lapels, as it were, and say, attention. I can't think of the one that died for me. I cannot concentrate on that. And if I'm not doing his will during the week, I pretty well guarantee you I won't be focused during the service. I'll be more consumed about the time. If we have time, we'll get to that. And then our singing. It's not divine entertainment. It's not something we do just before the preacher gets up to preach. We are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why we don't sing Rock Around the Clock. Those words, have you ever sat down? I've admonished people sometimes to take a songbook home. There's a scripture above the songs. To read that passage and the context. And to read the words of that song. How much more it will mean to you as you sing these songs, these hymns. How we do it. How we do it. Did you know God's video is on you? Like I said at the beginning, you're the only one here as far as he's concerned. How are you doing right now? Has your mind wandered since we started a few minutes ago? Who's helping your mind wander? The devil's everywhere too, isn't he? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. And when I say every, we could say in every heart, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Not just the evil, not just the good. Does God see me in worship? Yes, he does. Somebody says, well, I hate to get personal. What does that mean they're going to do? They're going to get personal, then. Okay? So much has been said about body language. There are people getting degrees studying body language. I get nervous. How do I cross my... That says something. Watching it on TV a few months ago. And wow, I didn't... If you touch your face or your expression or your eyes, how do you just stay limp? Body language says a lot. Here are some things I've observed in worship. PDAs. You know what that means? Public displays of affection. In worship, they're going to be a shocker. Sitting on the back row, Mo had to call a timeout. When this couple straightens up, we'll keep on. If you were a parent of a teenager and you knew they were sitting on the back row, would you be praying, Lord, please don't let it be my son, my daughter? Would you? During worship, remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? What happened to them? What did the Lord do? The earth opened up and swallowed them and all that pertained to them. Rebelling against God. God didn't know, really? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Seen this. People become masseurs during worship. Rubbing their boy's back or their daughter's back or their shoulders. Really? I mean, who doesn't like to have their back rubbed? And then the boy leans over so mom can do his whole back. And of course, that's not distracting anybody behind them or beside them. Because everybody behind them and beside them said, I wish I would get my back rubbed. all kinds of exercises during worship. Pat Boone said he had to lift his feet off the floor when he was attending the services of the Church of Christ because there wasn't enough clapping and shouting and going on. Is that why we've come? To be entertained? Really? Some joke-telling, story-telling preacher? Have to stay awake with a massage? Oh, this is a killer. Mothers, do you need help from somebody two or three rows behind you? Babysitting your kid? And Doug, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Somebody, little baby's been held over the shoulder and somebody behind it making all kinds of cute little faces. And I'm supposed to keep my attention while that's going on? Really? Or here, have my keys, little kid. No, that's not distracting, is it? Yes, it is. R&R, rest and relaxation during worship. Kids laying their head on the parent's shoulder. How big is a child when he can lay his head on his mom's shoulder or his dad's shoulder? He's not two or three, is he? Huh? Doug, get your head off Debbie's shoulder. Really? Remember, I think I was about 5 years old, and I started doing that with my mom. Wasn't in school yet. She said, "You're old enough to sit up." Yes. And then sleeping adults. And you know what they think? They think nobody notices. Really? In Peoria, Illinois, where I grew up, we had 300 people there, and we knew who all the sleepers were. I call them headless horsemen because nobody notices. Really? Really? And especially with this kind of circular seating, you can, out of the corner of your eye, nobody sees me. Okay. God does. Well, I was up so late last night. Why? I was watching this show or this game. And okay. If you were God, you accept that worship. But we just read in Malachi where we read, should I accept your blind and your lame and your scurvy, your diseased animal? Well, what am I offering to God when I come like that? Just saying. Guys, can you get your knees on the pew in front of you? How you sitting? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I mean, we've got padded backs, padded seats, everything. Lumbar, good for your back. I try to Velcro my back to the back of the pew. Matter of fact, it's healthier for you, isn't it? To sit up straight. Communication during worship. And I know, I understand, sometimes I have to ask Judy, what passage did he, what was that? And she's always ready with the answer. But think people behind you don't notice that. You're disrupting, your distraction. And does the person beside you have to see what you saw? Really? To distract them? Conversations, again, as I said, sometimes you're going to need mothers with a baby or something, and you're going to need some assistance. Understand that? But when it's back and forth and laughing. About 2 months ago, I got up from our seat, what were we, about five rows back? Went up on the second row and sat between two boys. Got deathly quiet. After services, people, about 60 people behind him said, "I'm so glad you did that. That What do they think? Nobody saw them? Old enough to know better? I've seen parents do that. One parent, his son and some others were sitting on the front row. And he just walked up there and sat down. Oh, we knew that boy when he got home. It wasn't going to be fun and games, was it? If your parents were like mine, they didn't forget. When you get home, you're going, if I got that, when I got home, I got it. And I remember, I asked my mother not long before she passed, do you remember that? When on the way home, I was touching, rubbing your arm. She said, yes, and I was laughing on the inside. She said, I knew what you were doing. I sat up. There was before seat belts. That's how long ago it was. Oh, Mom, so sweet, so great. You know what? I had to go out in the backyard and pick my keen switch off of the peach tree in the backyard. We had three peach trees in our backyard, and they died from too much pruning. Some things need to cease, don't they? In basketball, that's a foul. What is it in worship? Everybody got to see what I see, what I saw. And by the way, mothers, when you have to get up, take your baby out, you want everybody to just gawk at you on the way out? No, you do not, do you? No, you do not. Powder room. What? Makeup, manicure, hairdo during worship. I thought we did that before we came. Even seeing braided, hair being braided. Of course, that didn't bother anybody. Nobody else saw. Really? When preacher, you can tell he's winding down. We got to get our compact out. Seen that? Really? And yes, I'm focused. Really? On what? On what am I focused? Think you could get away with clipping your nails? How loud would that be in this room? Been done. Filing nails. If you were God, if you were Jesus, I did what for you and you doing this? And finally, the preacher says, finally, brethren, well, what's that time for? Time to quit. Let me run through these. Everybody get your coats and hats on in a couple of months or weeks or so. It's going to be turning cold. Get your hats and coats and boots on when he's offering the invitation. What is that showing? A lack of respect? Maybe there's somebody beside you or behind you thinking about obeying the gospel and you've got to get out? Really? Or cleaning up the area, the books, the toys, the wrappers, put them all in the songbook rack? You all clean the building here? Obviously you do. Isn't it fun going down and cleaning all the candy wrappers out, coloring crayons? Really? Is that what is to happen when the preacher says that? You're on stage. Remember Proverbs 15:3? The all-seeing eye is watching you. Examine yourself. Just a few seconds. What kind of a worshiper are you? I'm talking about this lean on your elbows, the head down. I'm paying attention. Really? What if everybody did that? Just saying. Lazy boy pew, I think we're coming to that, aren't we? Somebody on the side with a little lever. Everybody ready? Ooh. We've done everything for comfort, the cool air. How about, we'll shut the air off. Anybody does, just shut the air off. Remember how it used to be when sweat was running down your back? And if you had a back on your pew, it was a straight piece of board. Are we getting too comfortable? Clock watchers. Luke 17:32, what's that say? Simply remember Lot's wife. One congregation had that passage over the clock in the back. We had a couple, had two little girls, and you could time their potty breaks. Okay, honey, it's time for you. And then when you get back, it's time for your sister. Every service. My father said, if you get up and leave services, it better be an emergency. Just saying. Am I the one that has to? We call it goosenecking down on the farm. Something happens over here, I got to see. Somebody gets up over there, I got to see. When you turn your head, others turn theirs. It's a natural reaction. I got to see. Can you be so focused somebody walks in beside you, you do not look at them? Can you practice that? I am focused. I'm focused. Here's a problem. Dress is too short, too low. And I put dads with a question mark. Where are you? Did you see your girl as she left the house? One elder's wife brought a blanket and put over the girl's legs. Teenage girls that sat all together. The men had complained that when they served the Lord's Supper. Are we running out of material? Learn how to sew. Silent singing. Can't be heard. Is that how we're to do it? I've got to talk. I've got to tell somebody. One preacher found this note, I think it's... It said, when he's done preaching, we're going to Shoney's. When was that note written? We'll just stop there. Our time's past gone. But you understand, and one lesson won't change you unless you try to stay focused, okay? If you've been in a rut for a long time, we need to stay focused. Remember why we are here and what we are doing while we are here. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.